Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Genesis 41. I read verse 56 as text verse for the sermon. Genesis 41, verse 56, where we read, "And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt." The theme for the sermon is Joseph opened all the storehouse. 3 points of attention. The first point, exaltation. The second point, restoration. And the third point, preservation. So the theme is Joseph opened all the storehouse. 3 points, exaltation, restoration and preservation. Congregation, if you see the situation before you, children, there in Egypt, we have to remember that Egypt was the most mighty empire in the whole world in those days. Very powerful empire. And Pharaoh, he was like a god. He was served and worshipped like a god. And then if you see the situation, how Pharaoh on his throne is sitting there, and Joseph, that young man, well, man, 30 years old in the meantime, a boy from the Hebrews, standing before him, in front of him, a boy who just came from prison. And Pharaoh heard from Joseph what would happen in the future, what the Lord had revealed to him. He had seen it in his dreams, but he didn't understand. And Joseph made it very clear that only God can make things clear and explain. And God used Joseph. But then if you see Pharaoh sitting there after he heard this explanation and what would happen in the future, how totally helpless is this powerful ruler. He does not know what to do. You could say he's like a ship, a big ship at the ocean, but the engine is broken. And he is sending out signals for help. He cannot help himself. All his worldly and earthly power was useless at this moment. It's a powerful picture and illustration, you could say, of the situation of a sinner in this life. It is so impossible to help ourselves, although we might have a lot of wealth, a lot of knowledge, education, capacities, abilities, talents, gifts. We are totally helpless to get out of the situation of being lost in sin. If you see a person at his or her deathbed, that person might be the most rich one in the whole world, and that person is helpless in him or herself. There's something that can touch you. You think about that. How helpless we are in ourselves. Did you ever see that? Did it ever humble you before the Lord? Prepare your heart to receive help, guidance, leading, wisdom. And Tonight we see in this scripture part that the Lord has provided help for Egypt, where Pharaoh couldn't do anything. And it was indeed a very hard message that he had to hear, and a very difficult situation that he had to face. 7 years of famine, 7 years of lack of food were coming, 7 years that it wouldn't be a harvest. How could you ever feed the whole population in those 7 years? Not 1 year, not two, but 7 years. Seems to be impossible. How could he escape from this calamity, this disaster that he had to face? And then Joseph is telling him, and we see in Joseph such a wonderful illustration of Christ, who is more than Joseph. We are like Pharaoh, so helpless. If we really see the situation we are in by nature, of sin and guilt before a holy God, how can we ever escape from this situation, from judgment and punishment that we certainly deserve? And Christ has prepared a way, has provided in all that we need. When we see Joseph opening his storehouse, then we see Christ opening and giving from what he has prepared in his obedience on earth, in his sacrifice, dying upon the cross. Oh, that's a wonderful thought to think about, to meditate upon. People starving, crying out, and then there's abundance, the doors opened, and they come, and they receive. They're not sent away, they are fed, and they will live and not die. It's the gospel for sinners. But when we think about this history of Joseph, what a way it was that he had to go, that the Lord made him go to be in this position, to open the storehouse. If you think about Christ, what a way it was that the Lord has prepared salvation in him. Yeah, it is all in the counsel of the Lord, in his eternal counsel and plan. And the Lord made it happen in the life of Joseph. He was 17 years old and sold to Egypt by his brothers, and he had to serve as a slave. And he was accused and condemned, and he came in prison. He was alone. For 13 years he suffered, being away from his dear father and family and house, his home. It was a long way for Joseph. He was humbled in such a deep way, such a deep humiliation. But it all of a sudden changed according to God's plan. God took him out of prison and brought him to the palace of the mighty Pharaoh. There he was standing in front of this ruler. It must have been unbelievable for Joseph. What a change. Oh, it's showing us how mighty God is to change our misery Sin is like a prison. Guilt is like a prison. We are all caught in it by nature. You cannot get out of it. You're so helpless to do it yourself. And how the Lord did it in the life of Joseph, he is the same God. He is delivering sinners out of their hopeless situation. And remember what happened to Christ, how he was sent into this world, how he came in a deep humiliation, he who is the Son of God, how he became like a servant, like a slave. And he was despised. It was nothing that we would desire him. And this world must have been like a prison for him of darkness and sin. And he was willing to be there. And he went down after he died upon the cross. He went down in the prison of the tomb, of the grave, buried. But God took him out. He resurrected in his godly power, divine power. He is exalted at the right hand of God in authority and power. And much more than Joseph, he has authority and power to save, to deliver. Oh, what a wisdom there is in the counsel of the Lord in preparing a way of salvation. And we see in Joseph a figure of Christ. We see wisdom in him. When Pharaoh is helpless and hopeless and caught in despair, then Joseph is speaking. And Pharaoh was aware what happened. Because afterwards he says, can we find a man who has the Spirit of God like Joseph? It was God who gave wisdom to Joseph in such an amazing way that this young man, just taken out of prison, is exalted, lifted up in a position of authority. They're all so impressed, not by Joseph, by what the Lord worked in him. So Pharaoh had no wisdom. In all his power and in all his might, and God gave it to Joseph. And Scripture says, Christ is given unto us for wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. Oh, that we would see that wisdom and acknowledge that we need it, like Pharaoh came to acknowledge that he needed Joseph in this situation of danger and calamity or famine that would come. That we would see that we need Christ, that we need him to be saved, that we wouldn't think that we have the wisdom to escape out of this prison of sin and guilt that we are in by nature, that we are born in. God has sent his Son. Oh, how wonderful to think about it. Much more than this wonderful thing that God sent Joseph. We read about it in Psalm 105. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. So he sent a man. That was God. He had provided long before the need was experienced. He had provided in help long before that time. Joseph was sent to Egypt. It seemed something that went totally wrong. His brothers, how wicked they were, how evil to sell their younger brother. It was the counsel of the Lord to save a whole people, to save his people. And so it is in the counsel of the Lord that Christ was sent into this world. Yes, Joseph had to suffer. Oh, the hurt was so deep in his life. Joseph, who was a God-fearing boy, young man. That's not strange. We should not be surprised when the hurt comes into our life, when the hurt goes deep. It happened to Christ. It happens to God's children. It is the way of the Lord to deliver and to bring out of this situation of suffering to exaltation in this life, but certainly and perfectly in eternity. So are you in a situation that you experience hurt in your life? Satan might attack you and say, well, where is the Lord? Where is God? Is he your heavenly Father? If you know that he worked in your heart, oh, it can be so attacked. It will be tested. God will test his own work. But it will come out like gold by the fire of the hurt and the suffering that is experienced. And look unto Christ. He was willing to suffer. He suffered most deeply. Why would I not be willing to suffer? He is exalted. I will share in his glory, united by faith, by a true faith to him. Like Joseph is exalted, can be in this life, it will certainly be in eternity. Joseph gave the glory to God, and God made him not ashamed. He was not only exalted, but there's also a restoration in his life experienced. After this hard time of suffering, those 13 years. Yeah, he's 30 years standing here before Pharaoh. Christ was 30 years when he started his public ministry on earth. And he was tested by Satan, tempted by Satan, and tested by the Lord. And he came out as the one who has victory over Satan. Yes, there is hurt. It is because of sin. We should never blame the Lord. But there is also restoration. There is healing in Christ, under his wings, in his work. We find all kind of consolation in his wounds, looking unto him. And Joseph has experienced restoration. He was brought out of prison, and he came in a position of authority. He was given an Egyptian name, a name which means revealer of secrets, or some say it means a keeper of life, and both is true. Revealer of secrets and keeper of life. And how much more is Christ a revealer of secrets? that deep secret of the salvation of sinners is revealed in the Word, is revealed in Christ, who is the Word that became flesh. And He is the keeper of life. He is delivering from the punishment of death and bringing to the knowledge of God, which is eternal life. So what an amazing change for Joseph. What a joy. What a glory he receives there in Egypt. And he married there. And scripture doesn't say much about it. We like to believe that he taught his wife. And could it be that she was like Ruth, making that good choice? And Joseph received two sons there in Egypt. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 10, "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see seed." And that's in a spiritual meaning. There will be people born again, born from the work of Christ, regeneration by the power of the Spirit. It doesn't say it might be. No, it says that it will happen. He shall see seed. That is for sure. That is certain. That's in the plan and the counsel of the Lord. He has predestined people to be saved. And you shouldn't think, you should never think, well, if I'm predestined to be saved, then it will be fine anyways. That's not a scriptural way to think about it. You should also not think, if I'm not predestined, not elected to be saved, I cannot be saved, even if I would pray on my knees my whole life. That's not the scriptural way to think about it. No, it is taught as a truth in scripture, as a deep consolation. It's not like a wall, but like a gate, that it certainly happens because it's according to the plan and counsel and will of God. Like we read in Isaiah, "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," Christ dying upon the cross, an offering for sin, the one and perfect offering, sufficient, he shall see seed. So Joseph received two sons, and he gives them names. Manasseh, which means making to forget. Making to forget. And he says, "For God said he had, for God said he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." It doesn't mean that he did not remember it, but God had changed that whole situation of suffering because of being away from his father's house and being a slave and in prison. And God gave him glory and joy in his life. He gave him back what he had lost for so many years. Although he was not with his father, now he had a family. He had children, and he saw the hand of the Lord in it. It's amazing that we read it time and again, that Joseph saw all the time the hand of the Lord, and the Lord was with him. What a blessed life. Whatever happens in this life, if he lives so near to the Lord, it was the Lord who did it, who had changed his whole life. And all God's children will see and acknowledge that it's the hand of the Lord who has saved me out of my misery, out of the prison of sin, preserving my life, bringing restoration, restoring what I have destroyed by sin. And the other son's name is Ephraim, and that means fruitful. And how fruitful was the life of Joseph? It was fruitful, was it not? It was fruitful when he was a slave in the house of Potiphar. He was serving there in such a way that his master trusted him and gave him a good position. There's a deep lesson in that. To do our duty, whatever position we are, that's the way to be exalted by the Lord in His time and His way. Whatever duty the Lord is giving us, even like being a slave like Joseph, and even in prison, he served so faithfully that he was also getting a task there, and he served the Lord when he listened to those two men in need, the baker and the cupbearer. He served the Lord to open his heart, to listen to them. And that was the way that he at the end was exalted. So, Joseph was concerned about and busy with doing his duty, not making a show or something. That's not a way to be exalted, to making a show as if we are more than we are and hope that we will be exalted in that way, but just to do our duty, what the Lord is giving in our hands to do, looking unto the Lord. That was blessed by the Lord, and that was the way that he would come in position to open the storehouse. Yeah, to be exalted, to be restored. He was fruitful. He got a family. He was fruitful. He would be used to save the people of God. He was fruitful not only for the Egyptians, but from all the other countries they came into Egypt to Joseph. Oh, how fruitful is Christ in his ministry, in his work that he has accomplished. Multitudes and multitudes come to him throughout history. It's innumerable. And they are saved by the power of his blood. He shall see seed. You know that power in your life? It's sufficient to wash you, to cleanse you from all your sin, to make you white as snow. So he is used by the Lord for preservation of the life of his family, of the people of God. And that's a third thought. Oh, there's a great need coming in Egypt, a famine. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, so not only in Egypt, but in all the lands of Egypt there was bread. All the land of Egypt there was bread. That's amazing. Oh, how much there was gathered by Joseph in those 7 years of abundance. He laid up such a stock, so much that they came from all countries. And there was bread in Egypt. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold unto the Egyptians, because they cry out in their need. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. But Pharaoh couldn't help them. But they received a message to go to Joseph. And what he said to you, do. He would tell them the way to live. He would provide food so that they would not starve. He opened all the storehouses and he sold unto the Egyptians. And all countries came into Egypt. And this is such a mighty figure illustration of the Lord Jesus. He opened all the storehouses. And this world is full of people starving in a spiritual way. They have no peace with God in their soul. None has peace with God by nature. None has life in himself or herself. None of us can find the way to escape out of this power of sin and guilt and darkness. Oh, it's so, if you think about it, this world, what sin has caused in this world, what a suffering, what a darkness, what a sin and death there is in this world. We see it all the time. We read it all the time. We are kind of hardened because of that. We hear it all the time, isn't it? And it's so terrible. And there is, from our side, no way to find comfort, consolation, peace in our hearts. Rest, real satisfaction, deliverance, forgiveness, joy, fulfillment for our heart. We cannot find it. It is simply not there. It is simply not at our sight. It is simply not in this world. So the only thing that we have to hear is, go unto Joseph. What he shall say to you, do. What he says to you, do. Go to Christ. Flee to him. He has all the wisdom to guide and teach for the salvation of our souls. He will send his Spirit in our hearts to lead us, to give us the wisdom. He himself is given unto us for wisdom. This is true. This is the gospel. These are not only words. Do you believe it? Oh, you say, I cannot see it. I don't know how it can ever improve in my life. Yeah, that's true. Pharaoh didn't know. We don't know by nature. But go to Christ. You don't know. That's right. I'm so glad that you acknowledge that. Go to Christ every day. In your helplessness, in your hunger, in your emptiness, in your weakness and corruption and depravity. And he's opening his storehouse, all his storehouse. And he does sell, but it's without price. He is so much more than Joseph. They had to pay. They had to pay till they paid all the money. Christ is selling it without price, without money. You should come to him and buy. And he is opening all his storehouses to provide what you need for your soul. Guidance, light, insight, that you get to know yourself, that you get to know the Lord, that you get to know the devices of Satan, that you get to know the danger of the temptation of this world, the danger of the temptation of sin, that you get to know the glory, the joy of what is prepared for those that find Christ. He is opening all the storehouses. There is such an abundance in Christ. All what you need is in him. He is given unto us for wisdom, for justification, for sanctification, for a perfect salvation, deliverance. Everything is in him. Why would you perish? Why would you starve? Why would you be cast down? Why would you walk in darkness? There is a fullness in him, more than Joseph could gather in those 7 years. And it was so much. More there is in Christ, in what he worked as the Savior when he was on earth, obeying God, sacrificing himself. And he cried, "It's finished." He was welcome in heaven. It was sufficient. It is sufficient. It's enough. So what is your need? Tell me. You say, "I love sin." Oh, there's a medicine in the storehouse of Christ, who's more than Joseph, to heal you from that love of sin. You say, "Oh, I'm so cold and so hard." There's power in Christ to give you life in your soul, to incline your heart. You say, "My sin, my guilt, oh, it's so terrible, and I'm so weak, and I fall again and again." There is a fullness of forgiveness in the storehouse of Christ by his blood. And also, there is strength to lift you up every time you fall in sin. Oh, what a gospel there is in the Word of God, in this illustration, in this figure of Joseph. And all countries came into Egypt. You see them coming, all different countries to Joseph. And that's happening in our days. They come from all countries, all over the world, to Christ, to repent, to confess, to cry out like the Egyptians cried to Pharaoh. And they hear the gospel, it is proclaimed, and it is used to convert people, to save souls, children, young people, adults, those that are in their older age. There is power in Christ. There is such a fullness in his storehouse that they are saved. And they don't pay a price for it, because Christ himself has paid the price. Are you starving in sin, depravity? Go to Jesus. Go to Christ. And listen what Isaiah is saying in chapter 55. "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you try to fill your heart to find peace in things outside of the Lord Jesus, or things in this world, or in yourself, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Your soul will find delight." It's without price. Christ paid the price of his life. That's sufficient. That's what we see this coming Lord's Day, in the bread, in the wine. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, most gracious God, we thank thee that thou hast provided in what we can never accomplish. And Lord, that thou would heal us also from our foolishness, that we are so inclined to look for self-righteousness, that we are so inclined to try to find consolation in good works, that we are so prone to seek something at our sight. And Lord, it is so true what thy word is teaching us, that it is not there. And Lord, we are hopeless in ourselves, that Christ will be our hope. Lord, according to thy word, every day, so that he will be exalted, not only like he is in heaven, but also in our hearts, That we will exalt him in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our way of life. To be united to him, to experience fellowship with him, communion with him. Lord, that thou would work powerfully in our hearts. There can be deep hurt, but there is healing. Oh Lord, that we would see how destructive sin is, so that we couldn't continue to live without this Savior, this physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy goodness, that it is without price. We have no money. We have nothing to offer thee, only sin, guilt, and corruption. O Lord, that's why we boast in thee alone. Lord, bless us. Also in the rest of this week and this coming Lord's Day, hear us, O Lord. We thank thee for thy goodness that Anna could return safely from Haiti, O Lord, that thou hast spared her. We pray for Lisa that she might have safe traveling, O Lord, and return also home. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless all the laborers in thy kingdom all over the world, all the ministry, Lord, that many will be saved to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 421, stanza 3 and 4. 421, stanza 3. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. 421, stanza 3 and 4.